With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This podcast on 97.3 The Fan is brought to you by Hamul Casino, San Diego's closest casino. Real close, real friendly, real fun. It's that time, San Diego.
Oh, what time is it? Time to kick it!
Time for Gwen and Chris to help you close out your day.
I guess I've been working so hard, I forgot what it's like to be hard at work.
Time for you to forget about who stole your lunch at work.
This is it! This is it! Right here, right now!
Time for you to lock in on sports. Featuring Tony Gwynn Jr.
As our previous caller mentioned, he was flummoxed.
Yes.
And Chris Ello.
Kind of feel like Clay Matthews, that train has sailed, or that ship is...
The ship has left the station, and the ship is running down the track.
The train did not sink.
Yeah, exactly. Thank you, guys.
Gwen and Chris are on the air on 97.3 The Fan.
Six. 6:01 on the clock. Tony Gwynn Jr., Chris Ello. Welcome. Welcome, everybody, to the happy hour. Things normally get a little crazy in this hour, but we've got some structure here in this first segment of the 6 o'clock hour, and it's a new segment that we're bringing to you. Being that Chris and I both, you know, partake a little bit in the broadcasting game.
I mean, you guys... Don't partake, you guys do.
We do it.
Hang on a second, Tony.
Okay, I'm sorry.
What is going on?
Well, I'm just figuring something out.
I don't want to do what you're doing over there because Chris can't be wrong. So he has to go and make some crazy calculations.
What's going on?
Nothing crazy about adding up how many points J.D. McKissick has scored this year compared to Trey Sermon and Latavius Murray.
Okay, well, Trey Sermon, I know that he is not even going to come close to J.D. McKissick, but
Was he in the trade back? Trey Sermon?
Yeah, Trey Sermon was because he had just got 89 yards.
So we have to kind of talk about him. He's in the trade.
Chris, you're doing it off of a different PPR. Well, my league that I traded is not PPR. It is standard scoring. So your point totals are much different than what the actual point totals in our league are.
But you gave up Antonio Bryant, who gets 7
caps. Antonio Bryant doesn't play in the NFL, so...
He couldn't wait to...
Antonio Brown?
Said Antonio Brown, or Bryant. I don't even know who Antonio Bryant is. I'm very, as you can tell, I'm very on edge about this whole trade thing, because I'm staring down last place once more.
He is in defense mode right now.
Well, you know what? You were telling us the other day that you don't know exactly what you have to wear to pay your penance for finishing in last place a year ago.
I know.
But now, if you finish last place again, you could just maybe instead of running a 5K, they can just have you run like an entire marathon.
No, if I finish in last place this year, I'm done.
You're quitting?
You're done with fantasy forever?
You're quitting?
Because I...
Come on, football... You can't quit. No.
Just out of curiosity, Chris, what were the points in...
But he's got a PPR
lead. Okay, but we can kind of make the adjustment. I mean, we would minus the points. Yeah, sure.
Trey Sermon and Latavius Murray combined have scored 60 points this year. Total. The two guys that Scraby acquired. J.D. McKissick himself has scored 46, and that doesn't include Antonio Brown's 73.
He's also missed a week, which I had to lose because I didn't have his services.
Total
he also
of 118.
One catch for 17 yards. He's had two great games this year.
Three.
That's it. Two.
Three.
Are you counting a 7-catch, 60-yard performance
yes.
a great game?
Yes.
No. Well, maybe in a PPR game. League, that's not a good game in a standard scoring league.
Maybe so. But I'm pretty sure those other two guys aren't going to get anywhere near that. Just saying.
You don't know that, Trey Sermon.
I don't. You're right. It's
you
it's,
know what? You,
it's
you
a
know
prediction.
What? You want to know? I was furious on Sunday when Trey Sermon didn't even get a freaking carry yeah. until the fourth quarter.
Well, that's what happens when you trade.
Did you feel better knowing that Myles Gaskin put up 31 points?
No, I almost lost my mind. I'm not kidding. Like, fantasy football turns me into Satan.
Can you do me a favor?
Stay away, Satan.
As a Dolphin fan, could you bench Myles Gaskin again this week, please?
No, he's square in my lineup.
Oh, no.
I am not going to miss
him. He's probably going to start the rest of the year now.
No, you know what he's going to do? He's going to have 0 points again.
Probably.
Hey, sounds like that's a...
That's the kind of effect
you
have
on
these guys.
0 points again? It should be. Actually, that is a great name for my team.
It's better than Barkalicious, whatever you are now.
Barkalicious Def is a great name.
It is? Yeah. Who likes it?
Me. Scraby.
People?
Me.
People is other favorite answer.
Well, you got people.
I've talked to a lot of people who love that name.
As long as you've talked to a lot of people, that's all I care about.
He's got that look on his face.
Yeah, I'm going
to leave him alone.
You know why I'm getting mad? Because
I'm getting mad.
I spent a lot of time on this fantasy football stuff.
And you spend money
on it. You know
what? Come on.
You know what?
What? You spend a lot of money, too.
You know what?
I don't want you spending that money.
I have never, ever had the luck that other people do in fantasy football.
Some people say you create your own.
How do you do that?
Don't know.
I just don't like the fact that you're honestly giving some makeshift corporation $12 a month. I really don't.
He was desperate, it sounds like, to change his luck.
I'm honestly thinking of bringing $144 cash in and just giving it to you to cover
that
fee.
Please.
I can't stand the fact that you're paying for this service.
By the way, I could probably cut off the service by now because I usually only use it for the draft.
Oh, you
and
got
then I
greedy.
Cancel it. And then so I kept it because it had this trade analyzer and
This was the year where it was going
to
change.
You know what it told me? In our league, in the ESPN league, it said that we need to, you, sir, need to pick up Devontae Booker right now.
Did you do it? I did.
And I got him on my team. So, Chris, you get to face Saquon's backup, who had 2 touchdowns last week because of that service. So, thank you,
okay.
service.
All right, let's without further ado, let's introduce.
I don't want to do this anymore.
Let's introduce.
I really hope Antonio Brown segment. Never plays a game again. That would be the best thing of my life. Chris is still calculating over there. It drives me insane because I can see his pencil going.
I'm done. No more calculations necessary.
Why do you guys know how to get under my skin so easily?
I must say, it's not a really difficult task.
You guys do a really good job at it, though.
You guys should see Scraby right now.
Yeah.
He is all scrambled right now.
I am fired up. All right. It's called Rate the Radio Call is what we're going to do, and I can't play any music behind it because I don't want to ruin the calls. So here's how it's going to go. I'm going to play some of the calls that happened in the last week in sports, and you guys are going to rate it on a 1 to 10 scale, and it's going to be rated upon 3 things. It's going to be rated upon information delivery. It's going to be related upon...
excitement.
Excitement, and it's also going to be judged upon... What was the third thing I said?
You said... Delivery,
we're fighting over fantasy football on here, and I forget what we're doing.
Drama.
So I'm going to set up the situation. I'm going to play the call, and then you guys will both go and rate it 1 to 10. Yes, Tony, your hand is in the air.
Just want to remind you, the setup for these is going to be important.
Oh, yeah.
Just so you know.
Yes, for sure. Okay. I agree with that. Now, the first call we're going to do is the National League wild card game that happened last week between the Dodgers and the Cardinals. Chris Taylor ended up walking it off in the bottom of the 9th inning. This is actually the Cardinals' radio call, and it's on their home station, and Mike Shannon is the play-by-play voice.
Oh, my God.
So this picks up. I think this is Mike Shannon. He's the play-by-play guy, right?
Yes.
Because it never said who it was, so it may be like one of the other guys. Anyway, this is setting up with Chris Taylor. They're about to deliver the pitch before he swings for the walk-off home run, and here it is.
The 9th inning at Dodger Stadium, the pitch. A swing.
What?
No. That's John Rooney.
Yeah, but I said that was it's not Mike Shanahan.
Okay,
but anyway,
that,
I was shaking my head. No, it's not Mike,
okay,
Mike Shanahan.
All right. Well, at least I got that. Okay. All right, here we go.
The ninth inning of Dodger Stadium. The pitch. A swing and a long one to left. It is gone. A two-run homer. And the Dodgers are going to San Francisco. Chris Taylor hits a two-run homer off Alex Reyes. And this ball game has come to an end. A celebration at home plate. And the Dodgers beat the Cardinals 3-1.
So that was the call. And, Chris, you're going to go first. On a scale of 1 to 10, how would you rate that call?
Well, I'm taking into account the fact that he's announcing that for an entirely St. Louis Cardinal fan
base
and audience.
Yeah, you should.
I have to.
Yes, you do.
I'm giving 9. I think that's a great call for a guy whose team's season just ended.
Yep.
I don't think he could have done a whole lot better than that. There was a little bit of enthusiasm, not happy enthusiasm, but just in terms of energy when he delivered that call, realizing that it was a pretty important moment in the game. But there was just enough disappointment in that call for me to really give it a high rating. I happen to have met John Rooney in the past. I do think he's a pretty good broadcaster. He's a big upgrade over Mike Shanahan, although Mike Shanahan was a hero in St. Louis for many, many years.
Oh, 50 kinda, years, right?
He'd kind of lost his fastball the last 6 or 7 years, I'd say. I like John Rooney. I think that was a good call for a team whose season just ended. So I give him a 9.
Yeah,
I'll
give him an 8 for those same reasons.
Right.
Maybe a little bit tougher on him in terms of the actual grade. But Chris is right. You have to be so mindful that although you may be a baseball fan, that is not the time to be a baseball fan. You are broadcasting a game to all Cardinals listeners. You know, at least that's your thinking as you're doing it. So there does need to be some governor on your call because you come off too excited. The fan base is going to be quite
perturbed.
They're
not going to be pleased with you.
They're not going
to
be happy.
Can you just play the beginning of that again? Because I wanted to hear back. Did he say that the ball was hit to left field, or did he just say it was a home run?
Let me see.
Let's hear. Because if he didn't say left field, I'm taking some points away. Because I can picture this home run in my head because I
saw it. Right.
But I want to know now, if I was driving along in St. Louis that night, would I be able to picture this home run?
The ninth inning of Dodger Stadium, the pitch. A swing and a long one to left.
He said left. Okay, fine. Good. Good call.
All right, good call. So we're starting off well, guys. This is great. Now, we're still going to do a baseball call, and it's going to be a game on Sunday night between the Rays and the Red Sox. Randy Arozarena, he was up to bat. It was 4-2. Yes, it was 4-2. He was 4-2. He hits a double in the top of the 8th to tie it up. Rays Radio's Andy Fried on the call, and I know that because Andy tweeted it out himself. So here is that call.
Randy levels the bat over home plate and waits. Robles, first base side of the rubber. On top, coming to the plate. Swinging a line drive left center field, dropping towards the gap. Hernandez on the run. Can't get it. It's a base hit to tie the game. Goes all the way to the wall. Arozarena falls down on his way to second, but he's in with an RBI double, and the Rays have tied the game at 4. Randy Arozarena does it again.
So it's 4-3, ties it up at 4-4. Tony, 1-10. How would you rate that
First
call?
Of all, I love that you could hear the, from the Red Sox fans in the background when they noticed that ball. I give it a 7.
Okay.
I thought he gave the description of, I could see the play happening in front of me. There was something about the delivery that I just wasn't feeling a little bit.
Would we like to do it again?
Yeah, let's hear it one more time.
Okay.
Randy levels the bat over home plate and waits. Robles, first base side of the rubber. On top, coming to the plate. Swinging a line drive left center field, dropping towards the gap. Hernandez on the run. Can't get it. It's a base hit to tie the game. Goes all the way to the wall. Arozarena falls down on his way to second, but he's in with an RBI double, and the Rays have tied the game at 4. Randy Arozarena does it again.
Yeah, I'm going to stick with a 7. I think he tried to squeeze a little too much detail of what went in there.
All right.
But it was a good call, though.
Chris?
I give it about a 3.5. I'll tell you why.
We got Simon Cowell over here.
No, we don't. How many runs scored? You yourself said it was a two-run double.
I messed up.
Hang on a second.
Okay, geez,
you told me it was a two-run double. Then you changed and said it was a one-run double. We don't know how many runs scored on that play because he never said. We don't know who was on base, who came in, whether they scored from first, second, third, whether they walked in from the dugout. I don't know anything about the base running. All I know is that there was a double there and they tied the game. And if that's the only call I heard, was there second and third? Did he clear the bases with that double? Who was the runners on base? So I got to take a lot away from that. I'm taking 5 points away from that, and I'm taking a point and a half away for the stupid color guy jumping on top of him at the end.
That has been me so many times this year that I can't be mad about that.
You know what? A lot of times you can't help it because you think the guy stopped talking. So
but
that's
he didn't have a break.
But I didn't even hear a breath there. So I'm giving a 3.5.
See, this is I'm glad we're doing this. See, I'm learning stuff as we go along as well. This is good.
All right, now we go to college football, and there was a big upset over the weekend. Alabama lost to Texas A&M in College Station. So this they kicked the field goal with time expiring, and this was Andrew Monaco of Texas A&M calling this, and then we'll do the Alabama side after. But here is Texas A&M radio Andrew Monaco.
Aggies 38, Crimson Tide 38, 2 seconds left. 28-yard attempt by Seth Small is down. It is up. And the Fighting Texas Aggies take down the top-ranked Tide, 41-38. Number one goes down, and the celebration is on at Kyle Field.
All right, so that's the call. Chris, 1 to 10, how would you rate that?
5. Again, not enough enthusiasm before the kick. I think his enthusiasm after the kick was pretty decent, but he had no enthusiasm before the kick. He did not set up the situation for me properly with the kind of enthusiasm that warranted. A 28-yard field goal is almost a sure thing. So to me, he should have been broadcasting that along the lines of, we not without the word we are about to upset the number one team in the country. All this guy has to do is make a 28-yard field goal. I should have had goosebumps and my hair standing up before the kick was ever made. And no excitement until after the kick. He only gets a 5.
100% agree. For the exact same reasons, the beginning of that call just left. It was almost
like it was a punt.
It almost felt like he didn't think they were going to make that field goal.
Yeah.
So, I agree. 5 is the perfect number.
All right. So 5 for both of you on that one. Now let's go to the other side, the Alabama radio call. And I will preface this and say that the audio.
There is bad language?
No. There's two things about this. Is that the first thing is you're not going to hear this in the call, but he did say, we're going to let the crowd tell you what happens with the kick. So this is right before that. And then I had to speed up about 27 seconds of silence after the kick was made. So here's Alabama radio.
To 27 seconds.
Well, the league is going to get themselves $250,000 because everybody who does not have a seat and those who did have now flooded the field here at Kyle Field and College Station. The scoring drive, 8 plays, 54 yards.
All right, Tony, that's the Alabama call. And again, prefacing it with him saying, we're going to let the crowd tell you what happens. What do you rate him 1 to 10 on that?
2. First of all, the saltiness in dropping the $250,000 fine.
That was salty,
said.
Mike.
That's so the first thing salty. He says.
First thing he said was that the fans are storming the field and it's going to cost them $250,000.
That was so salty.
Well, the league is going to get themselves $250,000.
Right when I was listening to it, I was like, why?
And then
have some professionalism,
he gets
buddy.
A 2 for that. He was in his feels about Bama, which is probably why he let the crowd dictate his call there, because as Chris brought up, it was a 28-yard field goal, pretty makeable and standard.
Pretty much
he probably knew
he
knew where it was going, and instead of giving his call, he decided to take the easy way out. And then he was salty after it happened, so he gets a 2 from me.
Chris?
-3.5.
I knew you guys were going to hate that call.
Sorry. I mean, first of all, letting the crowd decide is an old, overused, you know, technique that you're basically telling me, you know, I don't know what to say here. Mm. So that you're telling on yourself. And then the fact that we had to wait 3 seconds to find out what happened seemed too long.
Right.
I can't imagine what it was like 27 seconds. Yeah. You know how long that is? I mean, let's just...
That feels like an eternity.
Yeah,
on
why
radio.
Don't we right now have a moment of silence for 27 seconds?
No, we can't.
That's what I'm saying. It's forever.
Do you see my face?
So I can't believe...
He thought you were serious.
I can't believe that he would wait that long to talk, and then the bitterness of the $250,000 comment. Come on, buddy.
All right.
Be a professional. Not only that, Alabama wins every bleeping game.
Yeah, get over
so
it.
So they
dude.
Lose one out of five. The first time they lost to an unranked team in 100 games. Get over it.
Yeah, get over it.
So
right.
minus
right.
points for that.
We spent about 10 minutes fighting about my fantasy football team, so we're going to have to go to break. We have two more calls, and then we're also going to review the AL East quickly, and that will be on the other side. So we're going to go hit some traffic right now. Gwen and Chris, 97.3 The Fan.
All right, I'd say for a first-time segment, pretty good. Scraby, you're doing a nice job on this. We have a couple of calls to go in our Rate the Radio Call segment. Gwen and Chris back with you at 6:26 on this Wednesday night, and we're rolling up until 7 o'clock. Scraby had a couple more calls for us.
Yes, I did.
You know, I think Tony and I are being pretty solid on our ratings so far, too. We've had a couple of nines, a seven, eight, you know,
a
three and a half,
and a half,
a negative three. I mean, you know, we're hitting all sides. But, you know, some people are honestly just critical of every call that's ever been made.
Yeah.
So you
can't, calm down, people.
Yeah, just going to be automatically minus numbers. But anyway, let's see how we do with these last couple here.
All right. So
and then
the
we're
going
to get to then we're going to get to our classic call.
Yes.
Which is going to be a weekly feature on this particular segment, which we will be, I think, putting into practice on Wednesday nights.
Yes, Wednesday nights at 6 p.m., and we won't fight about my fantasy team for 10 minutes before. All right, so the last two calls...
You can't guarantee that.
I'm not going to tell you guys
any more bonehead moves.
The last two calls we have is from the Red River Shootout between Oklahoma and Texas, and so we're going to start with the sad team first, which is Texas. They lost 55-48 on a walk-off touchdown run by the Oklahoma Sooners. So Craig Way, as far as my research tells me, is the play-by-play voice of the Texas Longhorns. So here is their call of the walk-off. That would help if I put this up. That was operator error. Operator error, everybody.
Uh-oh.
I admitted to it. Here we go.
10 seconds to go. And it's a direct snap to Brooks. Turns outside, turns upfield, 30. Broken tackle. 10-5 touchdown. With 2 seconds to go in the ball game.
I love the southern drawl of this. That's how nice. Sad he is. 10-5 touchdown.
10-5 touchdown.
All right, so I forget who's going first.
Chris.
1-10, that is Texas's call of the Red River Shootout loss in a walk-off
fashion. Give him an 8. I thought it was good. The enthusiasm meter was right on for a losing team. The only thing I would even dock him on a little bit, and this is tough in football because it does happen quick, but the guy went from the 40 to the 10 less than a half a second. And
well,
I
didn't
know
again.
He's not that fast.
10 seconds to go, and it's a direct snap to Brooks. Turns outside, turns upfield, 30. Broken tackle, 10-5 touchdown.
You're right. There's no way he made 20 yards
yeah,
in a half
he carved up 30 yards in one half a breath there, but it's still a good call.
Yeah.
I mean, if I'm listening as a Texas fan, you can tell the heartbreak as soon as he says broken tackle. You kind of know what's coming after that. So good, solid job for a losing effort. That's a tough pill to swallow because they had that game.
Yeah, you know? I'm with Craig Way on this one. I give it an 8. I give it an 8.
An 8.
I agree. I felt the same way Chris did. As soon as you could almost hear his heartbreak when he was like, broken tackle, 10-5.
Touchdown.
Yeah, I like the call. Though. It's a good call.
He didn't have that much 20.
Yeah, he got
like 10,
way more 20.
Five, touchdown.
Five touchdown.
He did good.
Now to the Oklahoma Sooners.
I have a feeling this
game.
Guy's going to fall out of the booth.
Toby Rowland is the guy.
Toby Rowland rolling down the aisles.
He got really excited. So their call of the walk-off win, and then our classic call after this.
Direct snap, Brooks fakes the pitch, bounces it outside. He's to the 30. He's to the 25. He's to the 20. He's going to go. Kennedy Brooks, he just won. He just won the game. Kennedy Brooks just won OU Texas. A 33-yard touchdown run by Kennedy Brooks. One year after a four overtime classic, we may have surpassed it.
All right, Tony, what's your rating? 1 to 10.
I'm going
to
give him an 8. I mean, you got to, in the context of the Red River
shootout,
they get a walk-off touchdown, and he called it. He didn't have a half second 30-yard skip there. He gave us the whole shindig, and I'll give him a 7. I'll dock him because he may have overshot his excitement a little bit, like to the point where I could almost not make out what he was saying. But it was a good call. I liked it,
Chris.
I liked it a tad better than Tony. I give him an 8.5. I thought it was good. I applaud him for not losing his mind like a lot of these guys do on the first touchdown of the game that makes it 7-0. I mean, this was a game-winning play. If you listen to it again, there's only one thing to dock him for in my mind, and that is that he did not say whether the guy ran around the right end or the left end. And having been someone who didn't see the play myself, I still don't know exactly what it looked like. And again, it's theater of the mind for radio. It's hard to get it all in, and it's easy after the fact, but that's the one thing I would say. He said he got to the edge or he ran around the end, but I don't know which side of the field he was on. So other than that, I think he did a pretty good job, pretty restrained for the excitement that called for. So all I right. give him a good score.
We'll hear him one more time, and then we'll go to the classic call.
Direct snap, Brooks fakes the pitch, bounces it outside. He's to the 30. He's to the 25. He's to the 20. He's going to go. Kennedy Brooks, he just won. He just won the game. Kennedy Brooks just won OU Texas.
Trinity Brooks? Is that
Kennedy?
Kennedy Brooks.
Yeah.
Okay.
And one thing I can say about that rivalry, which I don't know how big it is because I've never been, you know,
it's massive.
Part of that.
I used to know someone who
but I have an idea how big of a rivalry it is. They showed a shot in the stands of the Texas quarterback sometime during the second quarter. My mind wandered to the guy standing behind the guy's father, and the guy standing behind the guy's father had a huge T-shirt. The director and the producer had to notice this. But they noticed it too late because they didn't get the guy off of camera.
No. Was it a
swear? The guy's T-shirt said,
"Please be careful."
Blank Oklahoma with a huge picture of a Texas Longhorn character with the middle finger raised.
That's amazing.
That was the T-shirt the guy wore to the game.
Kind of want that T-shirt.
Hey,
you want that T-shirt? I mean, that tells me how serious these people take it down there. My goodness, who would walk into a stadium displaying that big of a, you know, mess? Anyway, I thought it was a bit much.
I'll save my story till we get to back from, because we got to go crunch for time.
All right, yeah, classic call right here, and it's going to be Chris chose the classic call today. It's the miracle in Miami a couple years ago when the Dolphins somehow beat the Patriots. Ian Eagle on the call. They are on the 29-yard line with 6 seconds to go, down 5. Oh, my gosh.
Their own 27-yard line or whatever.
Tannehill will throw it, and this will end it after the shovel, or will it? Miami running around, circling, and look out! Gronkowski didn't have the angle! Touchdown! Oh, Kenyon Drake! A miracle!
All right, that's all we have time for, but I really do enjoy watching Rob Gronkowski trying to tackle him one more time because that was a funny.
We're not rating the classic calls,
no.
but
no.
We did have Ian Eagle on after that call.
Love
it was fantastic.
Having him on.
You could tell that he didn't expect anything to happen, which is the proper way to play that, because nobody expected anything to happen. And the only thing I noticed in listening to it again, he didn't get the ID on Kenyon Drake until after he had scored the touchdown. But still, Ian Eagle's a pro. He's a 10 almost every
true.
Time.
When the ball is being flipped around like that, it's probably true. Really tough to figure out who's got it.
Absolutely.
To Stills. To
yeah.
Drake.
Yeah, it was four or five people touched that ball before they got into the end zone. But it was a fun call, and I like that segment. Good job.
Yes, we'll do that every Wednesday, 6 p.m.
All right, we'll take a break. We come back one final segment with Gwen and Chris on this Wednesday. Stick around for it on 97.3 The Fan. All right, thumbs up on the new segment there. Good job by Scraby. Fun stuff. Fun reliving the classic call and listening to some of the great radio calls from sports the last week or so. So we'll try to do that every Wednesday night around 6 o'clock. Welcome back to Gwen and Chris. 6:40 is the time. Want to let everybody know that this hour on 97.3 The Fan, brought to you by Smart Investing. Tune in Saturdays. Smart Investing Show takes place on Saturdays. I don't know if you're aware of that, Scraby.
I was.
That's
I
how
listen
this is
to it
written.
Sometimes.
8 a.m. on 97.3 The Fan with Brent and Chase Wilsey. Call in for investing advice. And if you missed the show, listen to the Smart Investing podcast. You get the latest and great investing news and tips. Smart Investing, 8 a.m. Saturdays here on 97.3 The Fan. All right. Earlier today, we caught up with Mark Ziegler, San Diego Union Tribune, with an update and a preview of what's to come for this year's edition of the San Diego State men's basketball team. Aztec fans, listen up. Time now to visit with one of our favorites on the program. We welcome you back to Gwen and Chris. And joining us on the Premier Chevrolet of Carlsbad fan hotline is indeed Mark Ziegler, the San Diego Union Tribune. Mark, how are you on this fine Wednesday afternoon?
I'm doing great. How are you guys doing?
We're excellent. Thank you. And I know Aztec basketball is getting rolling here shortly. I do definitely want to talk about that and Brian Dutcher's team. But a general question first, if you don't mind. And I know this is normally seems like a football topic, but I think it encompasses the basketball program as well. And that is San Diego State's desire or not desire to change conferences and staying in the Mountain West Conference for now. A lot of people think that's because the Aztecs feel down the road they could get into the Big 12 perhaps or something. Why wouldn't San Diego State be the perfect selection, especially from a basketball perspective, for the Big 12?
Well, there's a couple of factors there. I mean, one of them is just the travel. You know, you're going to be going two and three time zones if you get into the Big 12. You're going to go to places that you can't get to commercially. And San Diego State right now flies commercial to all but about two or three trips a year. And you'd have to charter. That's, you know, $50,000, $70,000, $100,000 per trip more. So there's some financial and logistical challenges. But, I mean, I think all things considered, if they called, San Diego State would jump and jump in that conference, because at the end of the day, it comes down to what kind of TV revenue you can make. And we don't know what the new Big 12 will get in its new contract without Texas and Oklahoma. But I think you can be pretty sure it's going to be more than the $3 million that schools are getting in the Mountain West. And that's, you know, $2 million more than they used to get. And so I think that would be the biggest enticement. You know, they put the logistics and the travel and some of the extra expenses aside just to get that extra TV check.
Mark, Chris and I were talking about it, I think a couple days ago, it might have even been yesterday, about what Dutch and this program needs to do to get to that next level. They have gotten to the level now where they are consistently a top 25 team. They consistently, you know, make a decent run in the NCAA tournament. But what is the next step for them? How do they get to that point?
Well, I actually think they've done it. And what it is now is just patience and time. I mean, I think if you look across the history of college basketball, you look at programs and their ascendancy, a program like Gonzaga is a perfect example because it's also a mid-major, not part of a power conference. And yeah, they finally made a Final Four, and they've done it a couple times, but it took them almost two decades to do that. And how they did it wasn't just getting one really good team. They got a whole bunch of teams. And as you know, the NCAA tournament is just a crapshoot. It's a one-game tournament. It's not best of seven series. It's one game. You know, your star might have an off-shooting night. You might get a bad whistle. Someone might get sick. You know, a few years ago, San Diego State went back and played Duke, and I'm not sure they're going to beat them anyway, but the entire team came down with a stomach flu. All the coaches, half the players. I mean, things like that happen in the tournament. You get a bad draw, you got to get a bad matchup. And so I think the best plan is just to have a team that's going to be in contention to get in the tournament every single year. You go to the tournament, you take your chance, and sooner or later you're going to win 3-4 games. You win 4 games, you're in the Final Four. You win 3 and you're in Elite 8. And so it's going to happen, but you just have to keep increasing the amount of possibility.
Mark Ziegler is with us from the San Diego Union Tribune and the Aztecs. You've been writing recently about all these 4-star amazing recruits that Brian Dutcher is getting. What's the reason that Brian Dutcher's on such a roll recruiting-wise, or maybe he's always been on a roll recruiting-wise? And B, how soon will all of this new influx of talent help this program?
Well, to answer the second part of your question, I think it will, and that kind of answers the first part, I think it will help them immediately. I think at least 2 of these guys are ready to play right now. And the other guy might be by the time he gets here next year. He's got to work on his body a little bit. But they went after players that they thought could play immediately. And in this new age of free transfers where you don't have to sit out, if you have a freshman and he's highly touted and he doesn't play, there's chances are he's going to leave. And so there's no point in really recruiting somebody who's not going to play right away or doesn't have a chance to play right away. And so that's what he did. But the other part of it is, I think there's a few factors. I'm actually working on a story about this right now. Is I think there's a little bit of a residue of the 30-2 season. You know, we've seen it in years past when they've won 30 games. It doesn't happen immediately the next year because recruits are looking. You know, you're looking at a player a year out when you sign them, and so to turn around by the next fall is a little quick. It's usually 2 years afterwards you see this bump in recruiting, and we've seen it before. So I think there's a 30-2 bump. I also think that a lot of the Power Five conferences have got, you know, all of a sudden the transfer market is something they're interested in with guys not having to sit out. They've seen the success of teams like Baylor or San Diego State, or even Gonzaga's gotten to some transfers now and how successful it is getting old and being old in the NCAA tournament. And so these schools are really getting infatuated with the transfer market and maybe ignored the high school market a little bit. And I think Brian Dutcher and his staff found a little sweet spot in there and said, look, we got some guys here that we think are big time players that, I'm not saying they wouldn't have gotten ordinarily, but they would have been fighting a lot more schools for them. And it would have been a tough recruitment. And maybe they don't go 3-for-3. They go 1-for-3 or 2-for-3, which would have been really good anyway. But they went 3-for-3 and the 3 guys they wanted. And I think that had something to do with it as well.
Talk about this team a little bit. Mark Ziegler joins us here, San Diego Union Tribune. And one of the things, last 2 seasons, this ball club has shot the ball better. And that has been a change from, you know, past San Diego State teams. Will this be a trend we continue to see in this season where this team can shoot the ball?
Well, you just hit on the thing I think is going to really be the sort of deciding factor on this team this year is how well they shoot it. You lost Jordan Shackle and you lost Terrell Gomez. Both those guys were ranked in the top 10 among active players in career three-point shooting last season. And you take 2 of those guys off your team, and a guy like Matt Mitchell also could shoot it when he needed to.
Right.
That's a lot of shooting you got to replace. Now, they got shooters. They got guys who can shoot. I mean, Keith Dinwiddie, who barely played last year, is one of the purest shooters I've ever seen. But, you know, is he going to be positioned to play? Can his defense and his passing and court vision improve enough to get on the floor? You know, can Adam Seiko shoot it a little bit better than he did last season? Is Trey Pulliam going to improve his shooting? And all the indications are that they have, but until they do it in the game, we won't know that. And so it's hard to answer that question. The one thing I will tell you about this team that is different than the last few years is when they got in the NCAA tournament and they walked out in the jump circle, there are times you look at them and go, man, that other team looks big. You know, our guys look kind of skinny compared to those guys. Just, man. That won't happen this year. This is a big, big, big team, big, strong team. I mean, they got guys, 6'9" guys just yoked up, and they got a lot of them. And, you know, and they're just, everyone else has been lifting weights over the summer and bigger and stronger. Keyshawn Johnson, when people see him, are going to go, oh my goodness. I mean, he's got huge shoulders now. And I just think, you know, they're an old team. They got a whole bunch of seniors and they're not, you know, they're not going to be, people are going to look at them and say, okay, this is a legitimate team. But they, Brian Dutch said, when they walk through the airport, they're going to know it's a basketball team now.
Lamont Butler, he was exciting to watch last year in stretches. I mean, you know, he was like a freshman, obviously, like any other freshman, I guess is what I mean to say. I mean, had some ups and downs, but this kid seemed like he's somebody that's going to be able to be spectacular. Is that what we're expecting from him this year, that kind of a leap? Can he make that kind of a stretch?
Well, we'll see. You know, the one thing is yeah, he was a freshman last year, but he was also a unique freshman in that COVID wiped out his summer and most of his fall. And those are really, really important times for freshmen now in college basketball. Because, you know, kids now, it used to be they just show up at the beginning of school and then, you know, get acclimated. And then 6 weeks later, you start practice. Now, kids come in July, the first week of July, freshmen do, incoming freshmen. And they work all summer, and then they work all August, they work all September. And then you start preseason practice even earlier than you used to. It used to be October 15th. Now they're starting the last week of September. But he missed all that. And so he kind of had to learn on the fly during the season. And so in some respects, he's still a freshman compared to what normal freshmen are. Now that he's had a spring and a summer of normal workouts, you're really starting to see the progression. I've seen practice a few times, and he has made some spectacular plays. The guy is not afraid. You know, I just talked about how big this team is. He's taking it to the hoop, into the body, trying to dunk on guys who are 6'10", and he's, you know, 6 feet, 6'1". He had one yesterday at a breakaway where he cocked his body and threw it in sideways over his head left-handed. I mean, it was pretty spectacular to see. He's gotten stronger, and there are going to be some spectacular moments, but I still think we'll see a little bit of inconsistency just because he hasn't had the normal, you know, arc of learning and progression that a normal freshman would. But he's going to be a big-time player. He already is in many respects.
Mark, you mentioned Keyshawn Johnson, who this sounds like there's some expectation behind him this year. Will he be able to make this jump to be a more consistent, productive player?
You see, you got great questions today because you mentioned the shooting and now you mentioned Keyshawn. Those are the two factors, man, that are going to decide this team. You know, the shooting for obvious reasons. Keyshawn is a guy who they've been patiently working with for 2 years. And when they took him out of high school, they knew it was going to be a little bit of a project. He was a raw athlete who didn't play at a real high level in high school and didn't have a lot of coaching and played a lot on asphalt, you know, and pickup games. And they love that about him. They love the creativity. But now they got to put him a little bit more structure and teach him some stuff. And you know, it's just a big unknown. Well, he's really made a big leap defensively. And that was the big question for him freshman year. I mean, he can guard anybody, you know, 2, 3, 4, 5 right now. I mean, he is so long and so smart now, understands the concepts and sophisticated defensively. So that's not going to be a problem. He'll get on the floor because of that. The question for me is his shot. And anyone who saw his shot last year with the side spin knows it's really hit or miss. He's changed it a little bit. There's still some side spin, not quite as much. But he's bulked up so much that I think if he can find that niche, and I think it's kind of the Kawhi niche. Remember, Boardman gets paid. If he kind of gets that mentality, he's so big and strong, he leaps so quickly, he's got those arms, he's got the verticality. I mean, he could be a 10 rebound per game kind of guy. And if he does that, he's going to be really, really, really effective. If he's kind of a 10-point, 10-rebound guy, which is what kind of Kawhi was, people forget that he didn't shoot it when he was in college. I mean, he could be a monster out there. And that's, you know, remains to be seen. It's a different mentality. It's a hard hat mentality. It's not go in the corner and just shoot threes. He's got to get in there and make stuff happen inside. But he's starting to show some signs of that. We'll see when the games start, but that's going to be the key to the season.
I'll tell you one thing. I totally remember that Kawhi couldn't shoot. Was at San Diego State because I think about it every time I see him knock down 5 threes in a row in the NBA. I'm like, I wish he could have done that at San Diego State.
He was always around the basketball at San Diego State. It didn't matter if he had brought it up or not. He somehow ended up with the ball underneath the basket scoring a bucket.
Yeah, that's where he scored. But, man, if he could have shot, we would have been in the Final Four.
I tell you what, I remember this from Bill Burtka. He's an old Lakers assistant.
Yeah, I remember
and just
Bill.
A grizzled guy, really good basketball man. And he once told me, I said, "Who is Michael Jordan the hardest guy to game plan for?" And he said, "No, Charles Barkley is." And I said, "Why?" I said, "You know, Charles Barkley's not a great offensive player like Jordan is. And, you know, Jordan's got the mid-range game. He shoot threes and get to the basket." He goes, "Yeah, but you can go get the ball out of his hands. You can run a second guy and get the ball out of his hands." He goes, "Charles Barkley goes and gets the ball. He just goes and gets it. He's such a good offensive rebounder, such a nose for the ball. Like he just said, he always had his hands on it." And that's what Kawhi was. I mean, there's nothing you can do. He just, you know, if there's a missed shot on the offensive end, you just hope he doesn't get it and put it back in. And that's what Keyshawn can be. He's got those kind of physical skills, and he's starting to get that mentality. Now he's got the body. So we'll see if he can kind of become a little bit, you know, it's unfair to compare a guy to Kawhi, but if he could take some of those elements and apply it to his game, he could be really, really good.
That was Mark Ziegler.
Yes, it was.
Union Tribune. We're out of here. Make sure you check us tomorrow. Tomorrow we'll have John Heyman on the show. We'll have our Week 6 NFL Pick'em. Game continues. Until then, check us tomorrow. Quinn and Chris, have a good night.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.